We're going to look this morning in this whole subject of joy, the third advent of Christmas, and therefore we're going to look at the passage of scripture for us, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And so let's stand to read together in our loudest, strongest, UMC robust voices, especially with all the Christmas turkey available. Amen? Okay, come together, let's read. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Father, we ask you by your Spirit, take your word and speak to us. We thank and praise you, O God, for the blessing, the joy that is ours. O God, to be able to come to your word and allow your word to come alive to each one of us. So speak and challenge us and draw us in response. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Would you take your seats? Amen. While a pastor came before the church, all right, talking about the building fund they're trying to raise, okay, to put up a new wing for the church. And the pastor said, "You know what? Okay, with regards to the building fund, I want to give the latest report to all of you," telling the whole church. "You know what, church? I've got both good news and bad news for all of you." All right, which one do you want, good news or bad news? Well, how many of you, given a choice like this, how many of you would like to have good news first? Can I see your hands? How many of you? Wow, okay. How many of you like to have bad news first? Can I see your hands? My goodness, more hands. You are an amazing bunch of people. Monkeys. You're an amazing group of people, okay, that will want bad news first instead of good news. You know what, this church says, "Of course, Pastor, we want the good news first instead of the bad news. Now tell us the good news." And the pastor says, "The good news is this, we got all the money we need for the building fund." Well, everybody clapped and cheered and went ballistic and said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen." Everyone was so excited. And the pastor, "Tell us now, what is the bad news?" And the pastor, "The bad news is this, the monies are also in your pockets." Said, "Your name is not talking about me." Friends, you know, in the world we're living today, especially nowadays in Malaysia, there are all kinds of bad news around. Man, all kinds of bad news. Bad news about education, bad news about politics, and some people do not even know that monies are being used or made use of in the bank account, okay? There's people don't know he's got so much money in the bank account, but he didn't realize people are using his bank account. And this guy is a good actor, like many Malaysians, okay, acting dumb whatsoever, like this. All kinds of terrible bad news floating around all over the place. It's amazing what this nation can go through. Not just bad news, but there's a fake news floating around, okay, over the media, social media, and all kinds of stuff like this. Now, in the world, therefore, we live in, especially in Malaysia, we wonder, is there any more good news at all? Is there any more real news at all? But the joy and the blessing, dear friends, there is really good news and wonderful news. And this is what an angel of the Lord came, friends, to the shepherds. And the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. They'll be for all the people. I've come to bring good news of great joy. They'll be for everyone." And that's what we're going to celebrate, friends, okay, this season of Advent like this, which is so important, isn't it? So therefore, friends, what is this good news of great joy all about? What's it really all about? The first thing you notice, friends, that the angel said, okay, to the shepherds is this, all right? It is that a Savior has been born to all of us, isn't it? A wonderful Savior has been born, because verse 11 says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." A Savior has been born to you. And we all know who that Savior is. That Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what's the meaning of the name Jesus, as we know from Scripture? In fact, what happens is when the angel appeared to Joseph another time, the angel actually said to Joseph, "What that child shall be named?" And this is given to us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, like this. Come, let's read together. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Right? Even the angel explained to Joseph the name Jesus, that he shall save his people from their sins. And that's why Jesus has come, friends, for you and I. He has come as Savior. He has come to deliver us from all our sins. And that's how, you know this, friends, Apostle Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. Okay, Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we are yet still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are still sinners, while we are still lost, Jesus Christ died for every one of us. That's the extent, friends, of the love of God for you and I. And that's so important, isn't it, for us all. That Christmas really is a demonstration of the love of God for the whole world, for every one of us. And that's how, friends, Apostle John puts for us like this in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, we are all very familiar with verse 16, but we're going to focus on verse 17. But let's read the two verses together, church. Come, let's go. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There is sometimes some people who are not Christians say, how unfair, how unkind is your God? How can your God send people to hell? Friends, far from it. This is so contradictory to Scripture, because here in this verse 17 of John chapter 3, it tells us God did not send his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God's heart, God's desire is for the salvation of the whole world, and all God's people say, that's the heart of God, that's the desire of God, that's the purpose of God, and that's what we are celebrating throughout this Christmas season, is that God has given us his Son for the salvation of everyone here on earth. In fact, just last Tuesday night, I was invited up north to Penang to speak at the Penang Medical Fellowship. Doctors all out to invite their non-Christian friends who are all in the medical line to come. All right, there's doctors, dentists, nurses, okay, invite their friends. You know how many turn up? More than 300 turn up. Majority are non-Christians. They're in the Christmas dinner, all right, in a huge, massive Kanta building there, okay, like this, inviting me to speak to this. All right, many of these are doctors. And all right, key people involved are two professors of medicine who are involved in it. So deeply, deeply burdened for their friends who yet to come to know Jesus like this. So I was invited to speak to them, okay? And I spoke my heart out, gave an altar call. More than 30 people put up their hands to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right, give their hand to Jesus. Wonderfully, isn't it? At the end, one of the ladies came up to me and said, Pastor Daniel, thank you so much. I'm so glad that I came tonight. I'm a doctor. I believe tonight God has brought a measure of healing in my life. Just within a year of marriage, I have to call it off. I have to break the relationship because my husband played out on me, totally betrayed me. I was so angry, I feel like killing him. I was so filled with hate in my heart. But tonight I thank God that God has brought me here to really experience a measure of healing in my life. I said, can I pray for you? Of course. Before I prayed for her, I looked for paper napkins around because I know she's going to cry and cry a lot. And sure enough, in the midst of the prayer, she was crying like crazy. God ministered, touched, and bring healing and wholeness, and brought back to her again the joy of Christmas season, like this. I came down to the main table where I was seated, invited by the president of the Penang Medical Christian Fellowship, himself a doctor who is in his mid-70s, very experienced, very well-known doctor up in the north. And as they came down, he has invited another guest, a couple, husband and wife, to come. The other guy, also a medical doctor in his mid-70s as well. Because when I gave the altar call, he put both his hands up to accept the Lord. And he came down, walked towards the table, he held both my hand, and he shook my hand like crazy and said, thank you so much, thank you so much indeed. Obviously, friends, God has touched his life as well. Encountered the grace, the mercies, and the love of God. Friends, can I say, there are many, many people in this world who are burdened, who are heavy laden, who are sometimes grieved and heartbroken. You and I got the greatest message in this whole world, the message of joy, the message of peace and of love. Let's make known Jesus to as many people as possible so that as they encounter God, especially in this season like this, they will never be the same again. All God's people say, That's so important, isn't it? That you and I must continue to be urgent in this season, especially over Christmas period, because during this period of time, you invite anyone, everyone will come to your house if you say, I'm going to have a Christmas party. Hey, all quiet. Isn't it? All right? People will come. As long as it's a Christmas party, anyway, everybody will come. In fact, I remember this gentleman, okay, this wonderful Christian leader, all right, invited his neighbor to come. And so his neighbor came for the Christmas party. He brought a bottle, nice bottle of wine along. He didn't know what to do, how to talk, tell her, can you please take the wine back? Okay, no need to bring wine along. Just come and enjoy yourself there. Because well, everybody is in merry, wonderful, merry mood like this. As it was thinking that Christmas is a time for merriment and fun. But the greatest, greatest merriment and fun is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And all God's people say, and that's what you and I need to declare and make Jesus known as much as possible, which is, I think, so, so important for all of us, isn't it? All right. In fact, I was speaking to a whole group of business leaders. I said, how many of you, all right, you are involved in marketing industry? How many of you, you are involved in the marketing industry? Can I see your hands? Hey, so few hands. Hey, come on. Okay, it is in church. You cannot tell lies. Okay, cannot tell lies. All right. How many of you, you're involved in some kind of marketing? Okay, that's better. All right, that's better. Some kind of whatever it is. Even you know, friends nowadays, even bankers, bank manager, you are a marketer. Am I right or not? All right, oh, everybody's involved in marketing nowadays. This is amazing, you know. But I said, we've got a problem here as Christians. All right, how many of us believe that knowing Jesus is the best thing that happened to you in your life? Can I see your hands? How many of you? Hand is not up, comfort afterwards. Pastor Chris will pray for you. Really bad in prayer. So, what believe, friends, knowing Jesus is the best thing. You know what? It is because we got the best product in the whole world, and the best product is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? We got the best product in the whole world, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? And you know what? Even if we got the best product in the whole world, we are poor marketers. In fact, if I'm a marketing manager, I will sack many of you. Why? Because if we believe we've got the best product, how come we weren't marketing our product? How come we're not making it known? How come we're not sharing it? How come we're not excited about it? Something is inconsistent in this whole area. Because if we believe it's the best and the most wonderful and the greatest of it all, we cannot wait to share with anyone and everyone, anytime and every time. All God's people say, amen, say to your neighbor, now do it. Very important, isn't it? All right, not only, friends, you know, we got the best product in the whole world, if you use marketing term. We also got the power of God at work, the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And so, therefore, with the gospel of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, how can we lose? We can never lose, isn't it? That's what inspired depressing news in Malaysia. Just last night, okay, over the wonderful dinner we invited to, okay, and shared talk and that kind of thing like this. And one of the brothers, okay, who invited us said, you know, Pastor Daniel, there is a survey taken here in Malaysia, all right, about what you think of Malaysia from zero, which is really very good, to one, which is really depressing and lousy and terrible, all right, from zero to one. So, okay, he was trying to ask every one of us, what is your grading? Okay, let's go wonder, what is your grading? Before I tell the results here or what Malaysians in general think about it, okay, and it went round. And so he asked his wife, what is, his wife said, 0.4. Wow, so good, so impressive, 0.4. Wow, is that real or not, true or not? Then he went round and asked, okay, different ones, different figures like that, okay. And then finally, okay, he asked me, what do you think, Pastor Dan? I said, it is 0.1. Hello? Because he says the figure of the average Malaysian is 0.77. Now, one is really depressing, it's really terrible, really lousy. Okay, zero is really good and really fantastic and optimistic like that. Okay, and they say the results that is given, if I remember correctly, 0.77, which is really depressing and lousy news, okay, here in Malaysia. Whereas you and I Christians, we should be 0.1 or even zero, and all God's people say, oh, don't very convincing, amen, for all of us. Why is it, friends, all right, that you and I should be optimistic of Malaysia? There can be all the bad news and terrible news around all that has gone wrong in this country. Friends, you know, I am always optimistic. I never look to politicians as the hope for the country. Now, don't tell my politician friends, okay? Is that right? But really, friends, they are the ones who mess up the country in most countries of the world. Not all countries, most countries. They're the ones who mess up the country, all right? But friends, you know, it is you and I who hold the key and the answer to the nation's problems, nation's challenge, and all God's people say. Because we got the best product in the world that will transform the lives of everybody, and we got the power of the Holy Spirit. How can we lose, isn't it? So if you and I, friends, in this Christmas season, what do you start to share? Every one of us will to share. If every one of us, for example, by the end of next year will lead one to faith in Christ, what happens to the church? The church would have doubled, isn't it? And you know what, friends? If we do this, every one of us just lead one to faith in Christ, friends, what happens? In just 10 years, you and I change the whole of Kuala Lumpur. In 11, 12 years, we change the whole of Malaysia, isn't it? So what's the problem? The good news, friends, is not out there in the world. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why, friends, the angel of the Lord announced, okay, to the shepherds, I bring good news of great joy, because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to all of us. His Savior, his sinner. And that's a joy, that's a celebration. Not only, friends, you know what? He is Savior for all of us, but also he's the Christ, isn't it? Because second half of verse 11, it says he is the Christ, all right? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is the Christ for all of us. And as we all know, friends, the word Christ, which is Greek, right, in Hebrew is the word Messiah. And what it means is Christ or Messiah means the anointed one. He is the anointed one of God. He is one who has been set aside by God to fulfill his call, his purpose in this whole world like this for every one of us. Okay? And that's what he has called, right? Been called to do. I mean, friends, you know what? The coming of Jesus has been prophesied hundreds of years before he came. And so, for example, you notice, friends, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied 700 years before the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says like this. Come, let's read together, church. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, how can a virgin be with child? So I speak to the medical crowd. It's mindless. It's unacceptable. How can a virgin be with child? But here it is, friends. Jesus Christ's birth, Jesus Christ's conception is miraculous, is unusual, is only one of a kind. Amen. No man is involved in the conception of Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, as we all know. Isn't it? So it's a miraculous birth of Jesus. Therefore, he's one without sin at all. He's a sinless one, okay, of God. And because of this, friends, here, 700 years before, it says a virgin will be with child. All right, he will be born, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. That's why you sing Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it means, Emmanuel, God with us. So God has come into our midst like this. Likewise, Isaiah said to us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, come, let's read together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so 700 years before, that's the prophetic word about the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace it is. He comes to bring peace to this world. That's what he has come for you and I. He has come for the whole world like this, isn't it? All right, let me repeat. I might have said this to you all. At the International Islamic University, when I was invited for a panel discussion, all right, a Buddhist leader, a Muslim leader, a Christian leader. So me representing a Christian faith and a Buddhist leader, a Muslim leader representing each of the faiths. All right, we're asked to speak. Okay, and our whole subject, religion, is it still relevant in the 21st century? So many rules and regulations. At the end, okay, of that, the panel chairman, Muslim guy, said to us all, have you got a last word for all of us? Okay, say a last word, any one of you. So the Muslim guy said, followed by the Buddhist guy, and then I said, when it came to my turn, I said to all of them, get it there. Most of these are Muslims there, with a few from UMC to come along to support and encourage me, okay, because I'm walking into a lion's trap. Amen. And so I said, you know what? For all of us in our lives, every one of us in this whole world, from whatever social, ethnic, religious backgrounds, there are two things, okay, we're looking for. We're all in search of truth, and we want peace of heart. We should be in search of the truth, and we all want peace of heart. Amen? Isn't it? That's the reality of it all. I say, you know what? We're all in search of truth, because we want to find, is there truth at all? And where is the truth to be found? I say, truth, friends, you know what? It is not in a set of beliefs or doctrines. Truth is about a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, isn't it? That's a claim of Jesus, right, for all of us, like this, when he came on earth. I'm the way, the truth. So truth, my friend, is not a set of beliefs or doctrines. It's truth. It's about a person, the person of Jesus Christ, like this. Not only, friends, that Jesus is the truth, and he opens himself, therefore, up for examination. But Jesus Christ is also peace. Why? Because peace is not absence of conflict. Peace is not where there is no war. Peace, again, is about a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who is, as we all know in Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 6, he is the Prince of Peace. So friends, you know, truth and peace is found in one person, the person of Jesus Christ. And so friends, you know what? If you've got Jesus, you have got both truth and peace. And that's all you need. I almost want to say, now bow your heads, close your eyes. Those who want to accept Jesus, put up your hands. Let me pray for you all. It was such a wonderful platform for me to open, almost to make an altar call. So at the end, okay, of the whole discussion, everything, the lady director of the whole program presented each one of us a memento. And when she presented me a memento, she said, I'd like to invite you to come back. I said, sure, anytime, okay, just give a call. Happy to come, interact, to talk, to share with all of them, isn't it? All right, so we talk about chasing the lion. Just get into a lion's den. You'll be okay at the end of it all. Amen. Because you have DMC around, okay, to pray for you like this. And so, friends, you know, right? Jesus Christ, he is firstly the Savior. Secondly, he is the Christ. But third and finally, friends, he is Lord. Isn't he? He is Lord, which is what, okay, the second part of verse 11 tells us in Luke chapter 2. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. For all of us like this. Basically saying, he is God. And that's what, friends, in what Apostle Paul says to you and I likewise. In this way, Paul writes to us in, okay, Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Come, church, let's read together this amazing passage of Scripture, okay, which is a song sung in the early days of the church. Okay, together, come, let's read. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's the testimony. That's a proclamation, friends, of the early day believers. And it's not easy for them to say so. Because when they say Jesus is Lord, it is a challenge to Caesar, the Roman emperor of the day, because only Caesar is Lord. No one else can be Lord. And when Christians in those days say Jesus is Lord, you know what happens? They are sentencing themselves to be actually executed. It's actually a death sentence for them to say Jesus is Lord instead of Caesar is Lord. But they are willing because they know and they have encountered Jesus Christ as indeed the Lord of their lives, have changed and transformed totally, friends. All right, give them a new hope and beginning all over. So that's unafraid. They're unafraid to face death. They're unafraid to go, right, to be crucified on the cross. Why? Because they know and have encountered that Jesus is indeed Lord of this whole world. Amen. And that's why you and I need to declare and make Jesus known as much as possible, to share this Christmas joy with as many people as possible. And all God's people say, in fact, in this trip in Penang, what happens was, flew in there, spoke that night, and flew out the next morning. And we went to the airport, okay, and I was looking for checked in, I was looking for a seat somewhere to sit, okay, to get ready to board the flight, and there's only one empty seat there. I slipped in and sat there, okay, and next to me is a lady. And then she was on the phone, and as I was sitting down, I overheard her saying, "Tao kao, tao kao, tao kao, prayer, prayer, prayer," you know. So when she finished her phone call, I said, "By the way, 你是基督徒是不是? Are you a Christian?" She said, "我是啊." Okay. I said, "You know, you are very special. Out of 7 billion people, God took a pastor sitting next to you. Okay, here's my card for you, okay?" All right, and she had talked with her. She said, "Yeah, I've just moved from Penang to KL. Okay, in fact, we've just been moved to KL for the last few weeks. I've been looking around for a church, okay? And we've gone to that church, okay? And I said, here's my card. All right, now you come. This is the best church in the whole world." "No, no, no." "Okay." "All right." I said, "It's no accident." You say, we have gone to that church, but we are still looking around. I say, well, now you better come. God sent, okay, so special. Out of 7 billion people, send one to you just to let you know, come to this place. She might be here this morning. I don't know, with the husband, okay, like this. But friends, connect and share and make Jesus known. After that, she boarded her flight. I was still there. Not long after, a lady came, sat two seats away from me with her young child. The child is about 14 months old or so. And the poor child was crying and crying and crying away like crazy. All right, poor lady. She was trying to comfort her. She kept on crying. And the lady walked up and walked around trying to comfort her. All right, kind of. She was still crying and crying and crying like crazy. She sat down, still crying. I said, I'm so sorry, okay? What's the name of your child? She said, my child's name is Ellie. I said, hi, Ellie. How are you doing? All right. And she quieted down. Hi, Ellie. There's a friendly uncle here. Hi. She quieted down and she started smiling. The mother couldn't believe at all. My goodness, you know what? I believe she misses the grandfather's voice and touch love. That's the reason why. Okay. So I sat and talked with her. All right, what do you? Oh, I'm actually back here on holiday. Actually, we've emigrated to the United States for the last 10 years. I'm just back here, okay, on holiday. Right, so connect, share with her. I said, you know, you're very special. Our 7 billion people here, the pastor here with you. Here's my car, okay, and talk and share. Then we boarded, surprisingly, on the same flight. And she just seated one seat ahead of me. And Ellie was all quiet all through, happy girl all the way through. When she arrived, okay, at Subang Airport, I came down, okay, and when it came to baggage area, because I don't have any checking luggage, I stopped, I spoke to her, and I said, you know what, can I help you with the luggage? Poor girl, poor lady, traveling alone with a child. Can I help you with the luggage? She said, no, I'm all right. Are you sure you're all right? Yeah, I'm all right. And then she said, yes, you know what, I just now look at your card. My uncle comes to your church, okay? I said, now you have no choice but to come here now, okay? She might be here this morning. I don't know. If you are here, God bless you. Welcome to this great church, okay? All right now. Let's share the Christmas joy with people around. It's so important. Seize every opportunity to connect, to talk with people, all right? To lend a hand, to share, okay, with people the blessing, the goodness, the grace of God, and the joy of Christmas, especially in this season. Amen? Hello, are you there? Have you got time for one more story? Got enough? Okay. Now, my good friend, and many of you know, he has come here to preach before. My good friend, the Reverend Irving Rutherford, okay, and his wife Linda, amazing couple, all right, who have served here in Asia for 50 years, all right, in Indonesia, in Vietnam, in Singapore, Malaysia. And now, after 50 years later, felt, okay, it's time for them to, okay, move back to the U.S., and then from there again, explore where God will take them to. And it's an amazing, amazing couple with huge passion for God's work. He is one of the three that I know of. The other one is George Verver, the third one is Greg Livingston. They are full of passion, energy, even at this age, to really go all out for the kingdom of God. It's just amazing. What a joy and delight to be with people like this. And he just reminded me on Friday, Pastor Dan, you know what, I've told you before, let me remind you again. When I'm 93, he's in his mid-70s now. He said, when 93, that's what, okay, I believe I will live to, because my father died in 93. When I'm 93, I'm going to hold your hand and walk up to the pulpit, and we're going to preach together our heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, okay, Irving, you better pray hard for me. My goodness, at age 93, I don't know, woke up from the pulpit with one eye left, one tooth left, and one leg left. Okay, you better pray hard for me. Yeah, I'll be fit and strong and healthy to be able to really, right, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God has blessed him with three lovely daughters. From very young, he told all the daughters, you know what? I'm going to find husbands for all of you. Whoa, what kind of man, okay? From very young. Why? Because I'm practicing what the Bible teaches. You remember, Abraham, okay, said to Isaac, I'm going to find a wife for you, okay, isn't it? And Abraham went to all extents to look for a wife for Isaac and eventually got Rebekah, okay, so that they happily married ever after, not never after, isn't it? All right? And so I'm going to find, from very young, it is drumming into the heads, okay? And so everywhere he travels around to minister, he's always looking for potential husband for the daughters like this. And what he does, he brings them, he finds a wonderful young man, he brings him along. For the next 3 months, he will travel with him. He will travel with him in work, in ministry for the kingdom like this. That's how he assesses these people and that kind of thing, okay? After 3 months later, I'm sure you will know everything about that young man, isn't it? Whether the young man is suitable for your daughter or not, okay? And fantastic, wonderful. Okay, you know what? What happens? He got a first daughter married, okay? And the first daughter married today, her husband's a pastor, okay, of a church in Texas, United States. The second one, he found a young man, married a second daughter, all right, ended up as a pastor of a church just outside of Manchester. Just amazing, wonderful, okay, like this. In fact, the second one, when he found him, okay, genuine, take him around, that kind of thing, okay, and they told him, quietly, I've been praying for you, young man, okay, you will be possibly my potential, okay, son-in-law for this daughter of mine like this. I said, are you sure? I'm not sure myself, so don't worry, okay. Okay. And went round. One day, this guy says, sure, Erwin, okay, I've got a question to ask you. They say, you can ask any question. No, I just only one question to ask. They say, by the way, okay, all right, Pastor Erwin, does your daughter look like you? Pastor Erwin said, no, she doesn't look at me. She doesn't look at me. And he said, thank God he doesn't look at me. The young man, 6'3", married a daughter, wonderfully pastoring a great church just outside Manchester, England. The third daughter, huge problem for him, both of them. Defiant, rebellious, all right? Would thumb the nose at them, all kinds of situations, all kinds of things. Got in trouble with the law in Singapore. They almost got deported, actually, when he was doing ministry, heading up Teen Challenge, ministering to drug addicts in Singapore, all right? A few hundred, take them to help them break out from that drug addiction, all kinds of crazy things young people do, and help them through in their life. But she herself, the daughter, gave problem after problem. Okay, they were tearing their hair out like crazy. What to do? Were defiant, rebellious, who challenged their parents, and all kinds, okay, of backgrounds, that kind of thing. Went on and on and on. How to find a husband like that for her? Isn't it? So he is concerned what to do. So eventually, okay, sent her to America for studies in university. Decided to go back and accompany daughter just to make sure she behaved all right, that kind of thing, okay? And of course, being a very boisterous, outgoing girl, all right? Okay, student after student university will come and visit, all right, visit her, have fun with her, enjoy, okay, accompany, that kind of thing. But he will not allow the daughter to go one-on-one dating with any of the boys outside. But more than that, every boy who comes, show some, okay, interest, whatever, he will take picture of every one of these boys, okay? And then quietly that evening, that night, he goes to his room, he prays over the picture, and he cuts up every one of them. Why? Because he doesn't think any of these boys will be suitable for the daughter, okay, as husband. So he prays over it first and asks God, okay, whether it's a cut up one by one. But there's one picture. He tries to cut. He could not cut. He tried, he could not cut. So he thought, maybe I'll do tomorrow. He tried the next day, could not cut. 1 week, he could not cut at all. All right? And then surprisingly, this boy one day came to the house and said to Pastor Erwin, I believe God has spoken to me that your daughter is going to be my wife. So what did you say? Because Pastor Erwin has been trying to cut his picture. Okay. So I'm not sure, Pastor Erwin. I'm not sure about it. Young man, go home and pray some more. 1 week later, he prayed. He came back again. I believe so. God has spoken and said, your daughter is supposed to be one I'm supposed to marry. Are you sure? No. I think so. Because he was so confident about it, Pastor Wayne said, let me sit you down, young man. Let me tell you about her. Is it okay? Let me tell you as much as possible. She was hard. She was difficult. She was defiant. She was rebellious. She was so opinionated and all kinds of stuff. Okay? Ran far with the law and so forth. After telling a long story, he said, you still want to marry her? I think so. You're married. This young man went on to do his PhD in mathematics. Today, this young man is a professor of mathematics in a university in the United States. And out of the two of them, young man and, okay, this young lady, out of the two of them, they produced 7 children. This young man certainly got his mathematics correct. Amazing. And you know what? The eight children is coming along. Child number eight is coming along. It's amazing, unbelievable. All right? And you know what Pastor Irwin just told me? Daniel, that's a joy of my life. That's a wonderful joy of my life today. I celebrate God's grace, God's mercies, God's love for all of us. Friends, I don't know. Maybe some of you are going through challenging times, right? You are just really uncertain. Is there really hope ahead? Is there really a breakthrough? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? With all the frustration, with all that you've gone through, you just wonder. And friends, can I say, claim this two verses of scripture from Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Come, church, let's read in our loudest voices together, church. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Friends, you know, as we sometimes go out, okay, weeping, crying, burdened, heartbroken, friends, be assured, we'll return with songs of joy, songs of celebration, songs of thanksgiving, songs of gratitude. Today, Pastor Vince, I thank God for Tanya. What a blessing, what an encouragement. Oh, just over the phone with her. What a wonderful conversation together like this again and again. Okay, and sometimes I have to tell Tanya, you were once upon a like that, you know or not. You say, am I that bad? You are terrible, not just that bad. You see, sometimes we've forgotten the grace of God at work in all our hearts, all our lives. Listen, and that's what you and I must do, anywhere, everywhere, to reach out, to share, to make Jesus known. Whilst it may be hard and difficult, while at times we may weep and cry, but friends, there shall be songs of joy, songs of celebration, songs of thanksgiving and gratitude in the living God. And all God's people say, let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed. As we come to God, He's a good, wonderful, loving God. The God of this universe has took human form, has shrunk Himself, the maker of this whole universe has shrunk Himself in a human form so that He could come and be one of us, so that He can offer every one of us a hope and a future. A breakthrough, a change, and a transformation. And my friend, if you have not encountered Jesus yet, make today the greatest of all days, the most wonderful of days, because He wants to step into your life and make the radical difference, that you will know that you will know deep down within there is a God, there is a Jesus who is Lord, who is God, who is Christ, who is the Christ, the anointed one of God, who has come to fulfill what has been prophesied in Scripture, who could therefore say to you and I, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, in me, and through me. And so if you've never taken a step of faith to trust in Christ, never known Jesus in your life, my friend, I want to extend this invitation to you that at the count of three, wherever you're seated, would you raise up your hand wherever you're seated to say that, yes, I want to ask Jesus to come into my life as Lord and Savior. You have never done so. But my friend, make today the greatest of all days. You're not just here because of an invitation of a friend or relative, or you just, as it were, stumbled here. You're here because God loves you and He wants you to know that. You are dearly loved by Him. For He sent His Son to not to condemn the world, but through Him that the world may be saved. And so we hate one eyes closed. If you like to, we'd sit downstairs or up in the gallery. At a count of three, would you raise up a hand? We'd like to pray for you. Just raise up here if you'd like to. At a count of three, raise up, we're going to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone? Is anyone? Can I see your hand? Raise high up and see your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to pray for you. All right. Yes, another one. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. What about upstairs? Is anyone? Yes, thank you. Another one. Anybody else? All right. Keep your hands high up so I can see your hand. I want to pray. Anybody else? This is a precious moment, my friend. God is here. Make today, this Advent season, the greatest season of joy in your heart, indeed. So those who put up your hands, will you say this prayer after me? Simple step of prayer, of faith, trusting in Christ, acknowledging we're a sinner, believe Jesus died on a cross for my sin, thirdly asking to forgive me of my sin, and fourthly invite Him to life as Lord and Savior. The simple step of faith in prayer will become a child of God. And so, those who put up hands, will you say after me? And church, will you join in to encourage these people? So all of us, say aloud together, after me together. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise You for your love for me. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me your power to live as a Christian, as a child of yours from today onwards. Fill me with your peace, your love, and your joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, seal it deep in every heart, every life that's prayed this prayer. And bring, Father, I pray, this new birth and new life to pass, O God. So that from today onwards, our Father, O God, as we begin the journey of faith, it will be a wonderful, exciting journey with you forever and ever, Father, I pray. Whether the hands are up or not, as long as we pray this prayer sincerely, Lord, you know it all. So seal it deep in every heart, every life, O God, I pray. And bless these precious ones as you fill them with your presence, your power, your peace, and your joy. Enable them to reach out to share the joy of Jesus with as many people as possible so that you draw many, many, O God, into your kingdom as well. So bless these precious ones, Father, I pray, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Friends, for those who prayed this prayer, whether you put our hands up or not, does not matter. All right, would you come to the front here? Ushers, could you help them to come to the front here? We're going to give you some materials and pray for you again very quickly, all right, to encourage you and get you, all right, to come here regularly to be followed up. That's our job, our responsibility, to help you along in the journey of it. It's okay? All right, so just as many those who put up their hands, will you come, all right, even if you don't put up hands, you say this prayer, will you come as well? Shall we stand to sing this closing song? As you stand to sing this closing song, come, just as many, just come, we're going to pray for you, friends. And there's a sense some of us are weighed down and burdened, all right? Maybe it has been hard going for some time now. You just wonder, is there a breakthrough? Is there a hope and a future, all right? Can there really be a wonderful change and a good outcome? Friends, would you come? We're going to pray for you likewise. Just as many friends, you just come here. We're going to pray and release God's grace upon your life in a wonderful, wonderful manner. Or some of you, I just sense, all right, in my heart, you got something important, emergency you need to attend to, all right? Maybe it could be a surgery. It could be whatever else, okay, that you are concerned about, you're worried about. Would you come as well? We're going to pray for you. So friends, just as many friends, would you come? Right, the person at the other end who put up the hand, Asher, is going to help them to the front as well. Just as many friends, would you come? And we're to pray of God's grace, especially this Christmas season or this Advent season. Come encounter, friends, God's joy, God's blessing. God's, maybe some of us, we are, as it were, not experiencing joy lately. Now there's been sadness and sorrows in your life, maybe news that aren't so good. Would you come? We're going to pray for you likewise, friends. So important, isn't it? Because God wants to just infuse us with a new sense of His presence, of His love, joy, and peace. So church, just as many, would you come upstairs, come as well, right, staircase on both sides, downstairs. We're going to pray for you, friends. So as your worship team leads us, church, come. Just as many, come to the front. We're going to pray for you, okay? We're going to pray for you.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
So friends, will you come and pray and release God's grace upon your life and a wonderful man, friends? All right, maybe some of us, okay, so important decisions to make for the new year, important business, okay, decisions to make, important ministry decisions to make as well. Whatever it is, friends, would you come? We're going to pray for you and just release God's grace upon your life. Maybe a health issue. We're going to pray for you that 2020 will be a real breakthrough for you. If it's about health issues, too, would you come? That's what we're going to pray for you. It's okay? Just as many, church, as the worship team leads us. Thank you, Lord.
A beautiful name it is, a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grace.
Some of us stand on behalf of our loved ones, it's no Jesus. So will you come as well? Some of us are burdened about our loved ones, yet to know Jesus. Come and stand on their behalf. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for real breakthrough. the hand of God upon their lives. Okay, some people have been praying for your loved ones, said to know Jesus. So will you come? We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray in God to intervene. Maybe you've got a difficult child, a difficult boy or a girl, difficult son or daughter, or whatever it may be. Friends, will you come? And some of you are concerned about yourself, parent salvation, come as well. Let's stand and pray for them, and then there will be wonderful breakthrough and change in a powerful manner. So church, just as many, will you come as well? We're going to pray for them. Yes, as we sing to a last time, church, will you come? We're going to pray for them.
Above all names, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is.
Church, would you raise up your hands to God as I pray? Lord Jesus, your name is beautiful. You are the Savior, the Lord and the Christ. What joy, what blessing, what privilege that is ours indeed to know you, Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord. And Lord, I pray that, oh God, that as you fill us anew and afresh by your Spirit, help us to take the joy of Christmas to as many people as possible around us. So that many, many, Father, we pray, oh God, will encounter you, be touched by you, and never the same again in a wonderful, mighty way, Father, I pray. Lord, help us to be urgent, oh God, Alpha, not just in the Christmas season, but in all seasons, oh God, to be urgent all the time, Father, to make Jesus known. We are in a race of time. We are fighting a spiritual battle, trying to draw as many from darkness into your wonderful kingdom, Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Satan, will keep as many people as possible, all right, in hell, and keep them away from the living God. And Lord, I pray that you help us to have a sense of urgency and passion indeed, all right, to make Jesus known, to share the good news of Christ, oh God, and draw many of our colleagues, friends, neighbors, relatives, oh God, classmates, oh God, to yourself and your kingdom, Father, I pray. And I pray for every one of us in this coming new year, 2020, oh God, that we will all have the perfect vision from you, to see, oh God, at least one person be touched by your save, change, and transform. That if we do this, oh God, in no time, the whole of Kuala Lumpur, the whole of Malaysia, change and transform. Our hope is in you, not in man, not anything else, but in you, the living God. So help us all, Father, I pray, oh God, we live such lives of urgency and passion for you and purpose of the kingdom, so that we have the joy and the privilege of drawing people to faith in Christ, seeing them be discipled, oh God, in the fellowship of the church, and that they in turn go out to touch the world for Jesus Christ, Father, I pray. So help us all, oh God, I pray, Father. Bless us, oh God, in our Christmas outreach, at our cell group, in our home, wherever we are, oh God, I pray, even over Christmas Day as well, that it will, oh God, be a powerful, oh God, declaration, proclamation of the good news of Christ, and many, many encounter, change and transform, and never the same again. So help us all, Father, I pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you, be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 We give a clap offering to the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Those who still need prayer, you come. We're going to pray for you. Otherwise, okay, see you all at 1 o'clock. All right, at hall 3. God bless you all.